Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. Sure, I'm glad you did. I'm very, very excited. It's been a zany week for me here at the in my studio. We've got our first art show since COVID, our first meet and greet, all that, in about 2 years. So it's, you know, I'm working hard. Of course, you know, it's last-minute stuff. The load-in's this Sunday, which the show is next weekend, but that's how galleries do stuff. You got to, you know, they need a week to get everything up and all of this and that, and that's how that goes. So I wish I had another week to work on even more stuff, but I'm not supposed to say it'll be less than 25 new, never-before-seen paintings and more than 20. Now, see, I technically didn't say. So there's going to be some new work. If you're here local in South Florida, you might want to come check it out. It's free. There's two nights. Details on my website. Okay, to the show. I am super excited. All week long, we have had 5 shows this week. 5, ladies and gentlemen, on the big deadline week. I don't know what the heck I was thinking, but I'm certainly glad we did because we've had killer, killer guests, and tonight that tradition continues. You know, we had to go all the way to British Columbia to get our guests tonight, but that's okay. That's okay because they obviously put something in the water, something right, because she is fantastic, fantastic singer-songwriter specializing in Southern rock, kind of you're going to freak out when you hear her music. She is one of the best vocalists I have heard in a long, long time. Very cool music. And without further ado, let's get her on here. And I want to talk to her because she is just super cool. I'd like to welcome Ms. Sid Carter-West to the show. Sid, how are you?
Hello. Thanks for having me. So glad to be on here and get to talk art. I appreciate it.
I'm telling you. We were talking a little bit off mic before the show, and I had mentioned your Venom video. It was so funny. Now, my wife is, she loved that song, too, by the way. She walked through into the studio here. I had it on the big TV in here, and she's like, what is that? That is fantastic. And she walked in, and there's a scene in the video, and we're going to take all this, but I just want to say, because it's funny, where you're sitting at a table and there's a snake, like a ball python or something on the table. And my wife owns a ball. She has an albino ball python named Ursula. And anytime she sees a snake, she goes crazy, you know, not like in fear, but in excitement. She's like, oh, my gosh, she's got a snake. Oh, how cool. And so that was sold right there. But yeah, she's in love with you, and that's, you know, you got another fan. Both of us. Very, very cool. But she loved your snake.
I really appreciate that. I'm always grateful to have people who understand my vibe and who dig it. And I can't be more grateful to have people who listen to my music and, you know, watch my videos and enjoy. So I love to hear that stuff. The snakes. It was definitely inspired by the title of the song, Venom Hurt. So it's kind of like, the snakes kind of symbolize what the song is about, which is mental health. It's kind of like a metaphor for, you know, the inner darkness that we all sometimes go through. And I wanted to put that in there. So it was fun. I really enjoyed that video, particularly because of the 80s kind of vibe that you get from it. Like it has like a misty kind of effect that we put on. And I don't know, it just reminds me of those 80s music videos. So I
absolutely
really love this one. Yeah.
I love those videos too. I'm a child of the 80s. Matter of fact, in the early 80s, my family had moved to Ontario, Canada. So when MTV was just kind of getting going, I was hooked on Much Music. Much Music was the Canadian version of MTV. I don't know if they still around or whatnot, but that was the stuff.
Not really,
and say again?
Oh, I mean, like, it was totally a thing back then, for sure. I mean, because everything's online now, though. I don't know if it's still around, but it was totally huge back then, for sure.
Oh, it was so cool because, you know, it was funny because one of the cool things about Canada has so many cool things. You know, healthcare. Yeah, what a concept. Amazing. but anyway, you know, everybody, all these people that bitch about Canada and the States, all I have to say to them is get a pad of paper, sit down, take notes on how it's supposed to be done, and let's get to work. That's my political rant of the day. You know, logic. How about that? What a con. Anyway, the cool thing is apparently in Canada there's some rule or something or a law that you have to play X amount of Canadian artists, like if you're doing a Much Music or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, or a radio station mm-hmm. or something, which I think that's great because it gives local artists airplay and visibility and whatnot. What a good idea. So one of the things is I was introduced to all these crazy artists, and a lot of artists, and it's weird because just like Canada's so big, it's just like the States, you have regional areas. And I fell in love with a lot of the West Coast bands. Now, again, this is before your time, Sid. You probably weren't even born in the States, you know? With these great bands, Doug and the Slug, and you weren't even thought of in these days. Yeah. I just loved it. I loved it. You know, there was so many good bands. Anyway, we moved to the States, and I was the coolest guy ever. Well, you know, because naturally, no. But one of the things that made me cool is when I rolled into this little town we moved to by Detroit. I knew all these great bands and stuff because I'd been watching and listening to them in Canada. And it was, you know, everybody's like, oh, where's he from? London, Ontario, but not a, no. I never played that. Anyway. So you started
the Canadian
out, though,
vibe.
Speaking of, I dig it. very true. First time I went to Paris was 2001, right before 9/11, but during the Bush years. And I told everybody I was from Canada. People are like, oh, you're here visiting. Where are you from? Toronto. You know? I was not admitting to being from the States. I like my food clean. I know what time it is. Anyway. Now, you grew up, as I was reading in my show notes here and on your website, which is a fantastic website, everybody, SidCarterWest.com. That is a good website. But you studied opera. How did that happen?
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, I started singing technically at age 2 before I actually could form words. I was humming in perfect pitch to the radio, and my mom would look back in over me to the car seat there, and she just kind of thought, hey, this little girl has a voice. So by the time I turned 6, she finally took me for my first vocal lesson. Which was over in North Vancouver where I grew up, and it was just normal contemporary stuff. And then eventually I kind of switched to a classical type trainer because she taught me how to play piano for a little bit. And while she was teaching me singing and stuff, she noticed that I have this voice, I guess, that would fit opera. So she recommended that I go for an interview with this renowned opera coach in North Vancouver, but you have to have an interview with her because she's very selective with who she chooses for students.
That's the right person to be.
Yeah. So I was 12 at the time. I went over and she looked at me for the first time and she goes, okay, so how old are you? And I said, I'm 12. And she looked over at my father and goes, usually I don't really teach young children how to sing in opera and classical, but let's just see how she sounds and go from there. So I did a, I don't even remember what song I sang to her, but afterwards she looked at my dad and she goes, so I will take her. And
wow.
we started at age 12 and she's been my coach ever since. I mean, I still see her often for just, you know, healthy training and making sure that my voice is in a good place. And she keeps me warmed up with vocal warm-ups and everything. So I've been with her ever since. She's like family to me now. Her name's Ingrid Suderman. She did a lot of opera for the Met in her day, and she's an amazing teacher, and she really understands my voice. So I can't thank her enough for what she's taught me. But, yeah, I did that until pretty much 1920. I trained through the RCM, which is the Royal Conservatory of Music. I did a lot of music theory exams and a lot of Qantas music festivals, and internationally did competitions. So it was a good time. I mean, it was really intense. I don't think people really understand how intense it can be training in opera and competing. I mean, you usually compete in front of one adjudicator and they'll literally sit you down in the front, all the singers lined up in the front, and they'll each go between every singer and say what you did right and what you did wrong. And then they'll go third place, second place, and first place in front of everyone, in front of the whole audience. So it was quite like you really had to learn how to have a backbone, especially as a teenager doing all that. So, but
well,
I can honestly say
and you
it
need
was
that
good.
Today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was so good for me to learn how to have that backbone and that confidence and knowing that I will make mistakes and to learn from them instead of taking them personally. Right. I mean, that's how it should be for your whole music career, because people will totally really like to attack you sometimes, you know, with every little thing. So that's just how it is. But yeah. And then I just kind of went into the contemporary again because I wanted to write my own music. So
I got you. Well, that's the weird thing about like symphony. I'm a big symphony guy. I've been to a fair number of opera. I had a teacher when I was a kid in I think it was grade 7. She kind of introduced me to that world and art, and everything. That's how I got my start in all this. And you know, I fell in love with the symphony. But the reality is, it's symphonic. That study, you know, it's just a really big. It's a really large cover band, you know. Very rarely do you go to the symphony and they're like, okay, here's some news pieces we've come up with. What?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's not how that plays. But, you know, shout out to Ingrid. Wow, for recognizing talent, seeing that. You know, that says a lot about her as an artist. You know, she obviously saw that and was like, hey, course correction, we're going to work. That's
yeah,
amazing.
It's so interesting because you're absolutely right. With it is kind of like a cover band with operas because you're performing music that was already written so long ago, and that's the thing, right? I guess that's why I went back to contemporary, because I want to be able to write my own music. And you know, if you want to be a singer in classical, you can't really write your own music unless you decide to be a composer. So it's kind of like one or the other.
Right.
Whereas I want best of both worlds, right? So I guess that's why I just love contemporary. It just fits with me because I can write my own songs as well as perform. And I mean, down the road through all the different genres I kind of dabbled with, I'm just kind of an edgy girl. You know, I love rock and roll and I love bluesy rock stuff. I mean, Led Zeppelin is my favorite band and I'll just be in love with them forever. I mean, I have them tattooed on me. I am full on committed. So
nice.
It's just that's who I am now. So it kind of all worked out anyway. I mean, I will never let go of the training that I have. That's why I can do rock music without messing up my voice. But
absolutely.
I love being that soulful, edgy chick. So it works.
I will never forget when I was a kid, I had won some tickets. You had to call onto the local radio station and, you know, be caller number, whatever. And I did, and I won. And I didn't even drive at the time. I had to have my older sister take me to the concert because she could drive and she had a car. I don't know. I had to clean a room for like a week or something, you know, that was a trade-off. But anyway, yeah, she milked out pretty hard. And she got to go to the concert, you know. But when we became concert, it was so weird because, you know, she was my sister, but we never really, like, hung out or anything. You know, we didn't – and she was, like, 5-6 years older than me. And but we became concert buddies after this. But this was the first one. We went to all everybody because it was fun. She was a cool hang. Anyway, we went and saw the concert was Pat Benatar, and you know,
oh my God.
I was at that age where you know Pat Benatar had some pretty you know dynamite legs and whatnot. I was like, oh yeah, let's go see Pat Benatar, absolutely. And but we went, and in the middle of the, and she's doing her thing, you know, and they're all, and it's cool, it's a cool show, and she breaks out and like, and I didn't know this until then. My sister, matter of fact, my older sister told me, she goes, oh yeah, she was trained in opera, because she broke out in like some opera in the middle of the this rock show, and everybody was like, holy, this just changed from rock to art, you know, and then back to rock. it was like Bohemian Rhapsody or something. It was amazing, you know, and the whole place was just, they went nuts, they just went crazy. And when I was originally watching your initial videos, because I got the, you know, the press kit and all that sent over, I was like, man, this kind of reminds me of her voice. I said, I bet she could do opera. I had this internal monologue. And then I, you know, because I watched the videos first, of course, because I'm, you know, stupid. But then I started looking through the notes and looking at your website. I'm like, oh, well, yeah, called that, didn't you? Didn't you?
Well, that's the thing about music. That's the beautiful part, is that it doesn't have to be specifically one genre that you have to go to, you know, like it's becoming huge now where everyone's kind of integrating different genres together. I mean, some artists are putting rap with country now, you know, like it's just, it's a new trend, and why not? I mean, that's the beauty of art, is making it your own, and people will really vibe with that. And it's a whole other experience. And I think that's awesome. So even, I mean, Freddie Mercury from Queen, he was classically trained. That's why all of these amazing, iconic rock stars, they could hit those notes without messing up their voice. I mean, no offense to Robert Plant, I love him, I always will, but you'll never hear the voice he had when he was in his 20s. Because, well, first of all, his voice totally dropped, I mean, when he became older, but also, like, he wasn't singing in a healthy place, right? So that's why his voice is not what it was, right?
You know, I see that a lot too, especially with modern metal music, which I'm not that big of a fan of, to be honest. I think there's some good stuff out there, but a lot of it's just too much packed into one track. You ain't Yes. You don't need a 12-minute guitar solo. Fine. give us a break. Got stuff to do today, man. Anyway, a lot of these guys, and then everybody throws in the Cookie Monster growling, and I'm like, yeah, that was cool in 1992, you know, when I first heard it, but kind of been done, guys. And my other thought with that is, I'm like, why would you do that to you're a singer, this is what you want to be doing, you know, this is leading you to the light, this is what you're putting your dreams upon, and
absolutely.
What is a singer realistically? Like a metal singer, especially guys, I think women probably have more control just because they're probably, you know, they take better care of themselves. And I shouldn't say that. That's a terrible misogyny. I'm going to get emails for that.
Well,
I already see it.
Honestly, there is a way to do that in a healthy way. I mean, here's a prime example.
Guys doing it or doing that.
Oh, no. Chester Bennington, like from Linkin Park, you know? Okay, first of all, he actually was singing in an extremely healthy place. That's why he lasted so long, his voice. Oh, yeah. Because, I think, first of all, with the screaming, they put the microphone so close to their mouth that they aren't screaming as loud as you think. They're actually doing it very quietly, but they're pressing it right into the microphone. So that's how they can get away with it. But Chester, I mean, he did it in such a beautiful way because he knew how to sing, and it's from the diaphragm, not the throat. If you start screaming from the throat, that's exactly how you lose your voice. Whereas if you're singing from the gut, the diaphragm, which is exactly how it should be, through the breath, right? That's the most important part.
Mm.
You can do anything in a healthy way. I mean, the new stuff that I'm working on, actually, I'm incorporating some growling, but I'm doing it in a way that's not
really
affecting my vocals. Oh, yeah. It's very easy. You just
it's
going to
be like the Kitty remix. I love it.
It's a placement. It's a placement. Yeah. Nice. It's a technical thing, you know. It's not easy singing. I mean, it's no different than an instrument. It's just through your body.
Oh, I'm telling you. We have some friends of ours. They're a great couple. We love them to death. They're great friends, first of all. Matter of fact, Julie was my best person at my wedding. But her and her girlfriend, Hannah, they watch our house a lot. Like, we go out of town. We've got a crazy dog that doesn't like anybody. She's a Shar-Pei kind of guard dog. But she likes them.
Gotcha.
So they watch the house a lot. You know, we can't find anybody else. We can't afford anybody else. Anyhow, Julie's all into that. She is all into, like, female metal. I mean, you don't want to give her the remote control when she comes over because you're just going to be hearing Arch Enemy and stuff, like, over and
yeah.
over and over.
Yeah.
But she's into it, man. I'm gonna definitely introduce her to you, to your music, because she's going to dig that. A lot. And that's what it's about, man. That's what it's about. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages. Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us. www.jamierocks.us.
Hey, rockers. This is Stacey Lane Wilson, author and editor of the Rock and Roll Nightmares book series. I have a new podcast that features interviews with musicians, artists, authors, filmmakers, and music historians. In season one, I interview Phil Soussan from Ozzy Osbourne's band, Scott Crawford, the director of the Cream magazine documentary, Lisa S. Johnson, the award-winning author and photographer of the books 108 Rockstar Guitars and Immortal Axes, just to name a few. The Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast explores the dark and mysterious and sometimes funny side of music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. Enjoy on RSS or anywhere you like to listen to podcasts.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com. to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks. So you start doing this, and you got real good at this, and you know, how's it, you're still in, based in Vancouver? How's the scene there? That's always been a cool town, right? A lot going on?
Yeah, I mean, Vancouver's a great city. It's beautiful. Unfortunately, though, it's not as live music-oriented as you'd think, just because it's a newer city, really. You know what I mean? Like, we're so like, we feed off of LA. I mean, we're like Hollywood North up here, right? So we're still growing when it comes to art culture. We're not as influenced as Toronto is. You know, you can go around in Toronto and find so much live music happening over there, even Montreal. But Vancouver's a little bit different. So it is a little bit more challenging, especially during a pandemic where you couldn't travel. You know, it was really challenging, but I did what I could. I mean, the whole social media aspect was super helpful because I could reach out to people outside of my city. So it was great. And it's different, too, with the genre here. Like, Vancouver, we're more into EDM. We're into hard rock.
I was
going to
say, club music.
You know, yeah, it's not, again, influenced by Hollywood, right? L.A. So I love it here, and I always will love it. It's my home. It's my hometown, and there's always going to be a special place for Vancouver. But in, you know, reality, I'm definitely going to have to reach out to the East and, of course, the States, and that's what I'm doing. So I do what I can during a pandemic, and, you know, when all this slowly comes back to normal, I'll be definitely traveling. That's a huge passion of mine, too. And
absolutely.
Being around different places.
Well, you've made a new friend in South Florida. How about that? How about
yes.
That, you know?
Florida. Yes. Good time.
I hear what you're saying, though, because now I tell people this all the time. It's an old joke, but I'm definitely a retired club rat. I spent a couple decades in my younger wolfing around days, you know, in nightclubs. I was not working. I was just hanging out. I was friends with everybody, you know. And,
right.
So I get it. And it's great, and, you know, a nightclub's fine and everything. But sometimes, even me, I'm like, man, I don't need any lasers. I want a good bar band, some good Southern rock.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
I want to be in a bar, you know. I want to hear.
Yeah.
I don't want holograms, you know. I need a break from that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something to be said for that, you know, I think. Yeah.
No, absolutely.
You know,
I'm definitely more of a bar person than a club person. Honestly, I've never really been much of a club person. I've been to a few clubs here and there in my early 20s, but other than that, you'll just catch me more at a live music bar or just something super chill
absolutely.
And where I'm able to actually hear the person that I'm talking to because that's a thing. So, yeah, it depends on the personality, right? So.
Absolutely. Well, it's like that. And I joke with all my old clubbing friends, you know, they're like, you don't ever go out anymore. And I'm like, well, number one, I'm married. Going out is a good way to lose your girl, you know. You know, that's not what I want to do. And number two, I can't afford it. And they're like, what do you mean? Is it really super? I'm like, well, it's like anywhere. I said, but I'm old now, so if I go out, I got to get bottle service, not because I'm cool or that guy, is I want a place to sit, you know?
Exactly.
I don't
want to
stand for 5 hours.
Hey, I'm 27, and I don't even like standing for all night long.
Well,
so I don't blame
your girls with your heels and stuff. I don't know how you do it, but it's crazy, you know? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I understand at the end of the night why a lot of girls are walking, you know, to get a cab carrying their shoes. Everybody used to say, what's up with that? I'm like, I got flat shoes, and if I can't handle standing up all day, imagine that, you know? Right. Anywho. Well, let me ask you this, because you're an opera singer and whatnot. How does your music process work? I mean, are you working with producers and they're like, hey, we've got a cool beat or we've got a cool track here?
Yeah, so I've worked with a couple producers now. I have one, though, John Ellis, who is working with me with all the music that I've been releasing. And him and I just really click. We write music pretty effortlessly. We could just be in a room for 5 minutes and we just wrote a song. It's very... it's very easy with him. It's just kind of like that connection that you get with people here and there where it's like, okay, we write very easy and well together. So right on. He's great.
Nice.
I will definitely continue working with him in the future. He knows how to rock and roll, and he also knows how to bring it back if need be. And he's a very talented musician and songwriter and producer and everything, literally everything. The guy is multi-talented. So I'm really grateful to be able to work with such amazing people who've been in this industry for a long time, and they know what they're doing, and I can always count on them to give me advice and mentorship, you know? So it's great. I've been working with amazing musicians
not
as
games.
Well.
No.
They get it. They're here to win, you know? They're in it
right.
for the win, right? So go big or go home, you know? And that's just kind of how I've always been. I was trained in opera to make everything sound perfect and to give it my all and never cheap out on notes or phrases. Just give it my all. It's a performance, right? It's not just about you. It's about the song. It's about portraying it the way it needs to be portrayed. So it has a voice of its own, right? Every tune. And I want to give it the benefit. So it's amazing.
That's
though
cool.
Working with amazing musicians. You know, I have a drummer that I work with often who's Brian Adams' drummer, Pat Stewart. So it's so
really?
Inspiring to be able to sit here in a room with people who are really in it, and it motivates me. I get super stoned just from talking to them, to be real with you. Like,
that's
I don't
awesome.
Even need to smoke anything. I could just talk with them, and I feel so good. So it's great.
I tell you, I got hooked on during the pandemic, during lockdown. I started watching all these. I'm always into these weird things, and and I started watching all these. I don't know what you call if you call them shows, but they're on YouTube, you know, and it's like a show kind of, mm-hmm. you know, and
yeah.
You know, one of them's weird. It's this crazy gay guy, and he's cooking like stuff from history. He's like, hey, here's how they made bread in Rome. Let's make some. See what it tastes like. And he's fascinated. You know, I'm watching that. I'm like, hey, you know what? I want to make some Roman bread. Let's do it. But one of the shows I started watching was this great show on home production, home studio production, called Produce Like a Pro. If anybody's in the music business and you're trying to do this stuff at home, that's a great video. I'm not in the music business, and I found it fascinating. They break things down, and they break famous songs down, and they're like, you know, here's how this works, and blah, blah, blah. And it was just fascinating to me. And one of the things that I really gleaned from watching the show, and they have hundreds and hundreds of shows, was just how hard it is being a producer. I mean, you really have to know yourself. It isn't like, before being in bands, I'm just going to produce now. No, you have to know, you know, oh, that mic needs to be this distance and blah, blah, blah. And then some of the stories you hear, because I interview famous producers, and I was watching one with a producer for The Police, and he was talking about like how the guys would get in fist fights and stuff in the studio. You know, but they were making a lot of money, so they had to keep it together, you know. Apparently,
it's a passion.
Pleasant to work with, you know. Maybe.
Well, we're talking about a producer's baby, pretty much. I mean,
right.
All these songs are like their children. It's no different than a normal songwriter. It's like their child. And we want to honor that by making it the best it can be. And it's a total different talent being a producer. I mean, you look at Ryan Tedder from One Republic. He has produced so many songs, not just for himself, but for other artists. Taylor Swift, Beyonce, Adele. This guy is...
Yeah, hit after hit.
Filled with songs in his head. And it's a total talent. He's multi-instrumental talented. Like, he plays the drums, he plays the bass, he plays guitar, he sings like a beautiful angel. The guy is multi-talented. And that's what you have to be a producer. You have to be able to understand and hear everything about one song and how it can sound just amazing altogether.
Absolutely. I'll never forget. I was dating this gal back in the day. This was years ago. And their song Apologize came out. And this gal started playing it over and over and, like, just giving me that look. And I'm like, I don't know what I did, but it ain't good. And It was the beginning of the end. I can already. But the worst.
Oh my God.
I went on a blind date. I've only been on one blind date my entire life. It only happened once. Not because I'm cool, or it just happened. That's how it happened. But my friend set me up with this lady, and I think she was a psycho. I don't know. I can't say that. But I took her out. We went to a bar and to a karaoke night. And who was that? Who sang that song? Was it Melissa Lambert? I can't remember. It was some country gal. And she sang that song, that Before He Cheats song, and was like, sing it to me, karaoke. Carrie Underwood. And I'm like, I don't, everybody in the bar is looking at me. I'm like, I don't know her. I just came out with her tonight. I didn't do any of it, you know. every woman in the place is giving me that evil eye. I'm like, I didn't do anything. Yeah, but people, they hear a song. Like, I imagine people hear Venom Hurts and stuff like that, and they relate to that shit. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, she knows me, you know? That's kind of cool,
yeah.
I think.
And you know what? The fascinating thing is some people don't relate to it. I mean, that's the great thing about music, too. It depends on the personality and the person and who can connect with that or who doesn't. And that's okay. Like, there's a song for everyone, and that's the beautiful part about it. And I really do treasure the people who do connect with it. It's like, okay, cool. I did my
job.
I made someone feel. That's great.
Let's play it. Because this is such a good song, and it was such a good segue. Let's play it, though. This is Venom Hurts, Sid Carter West. Now, this is out, right? People can get this.
Yeah, on Spotify, everywhere, all platforms.
Nice. Well, here it is. We're going to play it, and we'll talk a little more. ladies and gentlemen. We are back. That was Sid Carter West, Venom Hurts. No, yeah, Venom Hurts. Why did I just look at this? I need some glasses. I thought it said Venom Hunt. I'm like, have I been saying that wrong? No, it's Venom Hurts. I've been saying it right. Venom Hunt? What the hell is that? That doesn't even make any sense. The venom doesn't hunt you. It's the snake that hunts you. Or you, or whatever, has the venom. Anyway, I like that track a lot. I love the video. You are fantastic in that video, you know. Your eyeliner
Thank
game
you so
was
much.
Very strong in that video.
Yeah buddy. It's all in the makeup.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages. Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us, www.jamierocks.us.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store, it's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers shrine clothing and alchemy gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with rockin' reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
My Love Shack Apothecary online shop has everything you need to build a special gift for yourself or someone who needs a little pampering. I hand make all of the products in small batches using only plant-based ingredients and therapeutic grade essential oils. Whether you choose one of my curated sets or want to build a custom gift set, My Love Shack Apothecary has everything you need to send a little sunshine to someone today. Please visit us online at www.loveshackapothecary.com. That's www.loveshackapothecary.com, as well as online on Instagram and Facebook. Links are in our website.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Rocksgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, that kind of a lot of those Russell Mulcahy videos from the early 80s, you can always tell them because they've got like everything's burned out. They have all the lights on and it's like, you know, glowing white almost. And it's got that vibe to it. You know, I'm like, this is cool. This is very cool. You know, I tried to get him to come on the show, actually, and I think he thinks I'm a psycho or crazy or something. But anyway, now you have I didn't see a video for this. There's no video for Better Off. That's the next one we're going to play, right?
Yes, Better Off. The video's coming out very soon.
Nice.
I can't give a date yet, but it will be out pretty quick here. Definitely
well,
less than
awesome.
A month.
Well, let's stick a pin in that for a second, because just for a moment, because we're definitely going to come back to Better Off. I want to, everybody, you can get this. We just played Venom Hurts. These are all available on Spotify. They're wherever you buy digital music at, you can pick these up. We have links up to Sid's website, SidCarterWest.com. She's super smart, because I'll tell you, Sid, you probably have no idea how many bands and musicians and indie filmmakers and everybody. If you want to go to any of Sid's social media, it's all at Sid Carter West. All of it. Just pop that in there. There you go. And I have so many bands that come on and they're like, yeah, but it's 1, 2, 3, -8 × 3, you know? And I'm like, what is that? How are people even getting? Are you?
Nah, you got to keep it simple. Keep it easy for
I'm
people.
Because there's old people like me. We can't figure that shit out, you know? Come on.
Well, not even that. I mean, young people, too. Our attention span is really bad lately, hence TikTok. I mean, we
That's
can't. If it's hard to, you know, find, we don't even bother. We move on. So the easier, the better. The simple, the better.
My wife has trained me so well with TikTok. I'm like one of those nuts. I'll be watching the news and yelling at the TV, you know, like it's a hockey game or something. And it's the news, you know, and the dog's freaking out. Everybody's freaking out because I'm all worked up. And my wife will take her phone and she's like, hey, look at this TikTok. Like, I'm a dog and she has a piece of cheese or something. I'm like, oh, yeah, look at that video. Oh, this is funny, you know, and I'm not watching the news. I've spent 3 hours watching TikTok videos on her phone, you know. It's crazy.
It's addicting. It's really addicting.
I'm telling you. And
especially since they're like 15 seconds long. You can go through thousands of videos in such a small amount of time.
Absolutely. I was watching one the other day, and it was a farmer, and he was, I don't know, his cow's hooves were messed up, and he was fixing them. And I was like, you know, after 20 minutes watching these videos of, you know, because they're not 20-minute video people. It's like she said, they're like 15 seconds. But there's a lot of 15 seconds in 20 minutes. So there's a lot of videos I'm watching. And then I, like, sat back. I had that moment of clarity, and I'm like, what the hell are you doing, man? Why are you watching? You should be working, doing something, you know. Surely there's something around here to get done. But I found it fascinating.
I love that.
No. Hey, one thing I wanted to touch on also is you are like cool turned up to 10 with your activism. Man, you, hey, what can I do to help? And you're right there, you know, all kinds of stuff. Black Lives Matter, First Nations people, Canada, LGBTQ+. All that kind of stuff, man. Thank you.
I'm a firm believer. I'm a firm believer that everyone is equal to everyone. There is no higher person. There's no lower person. I'm all for anyone who just wants to be who they are and not have to deal with being shamed for it. Because I've dealt with being bullied, and that stuff is not fun. It's not worth it. And I don't want that for the world anymore, you know? It's about time people just at least tolerate and respect one another and stay in their own container. I mean, if it doesn't affect your world, who cares? Let them do what they need to do to be happy. That's all that matters.
Exactly, you know, and you see these people and you're like, dude, haven't you ever seen the movie Back to the Future? Biff is a hero in that, you know? You don't want to be
speaking
dead.
Of soundtracks. Oh, that is my favorite soundtrack.
Yeah, that is such a good movie. Yeah. That is such a good. I have a friend
Johnny
of mine.
Johnny B. Good, Chuck Berry.
Oh, God. And
don't
then he
get
called
me started
Chuck
on Chuck Berry.
Berry. Or no, yeah, he called. He was his cousin, right? And he's like, that new sound?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's like Marvin
it.
Berry or something. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
brilliant.
It was awesome.
Oh, what a good movie. All of them. All of those
timeless.
Movies were good. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Timeless.
I could sit down. Those
and hey,
those
Michael
films.
J. Fox. Michael J. Fox is Canadian. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Enough
I
said.
What good actors are. Dan Aykroyd. You know, all the greats. Again, you know, there's something in the water up there, you know. I don't know. Maybe they support the arts. How about that? That's probably a big reason, you know. No, you want to be an actor? Cool. Want to be a rock star, Sam? No problem. You know. Knock this off or shit out first, but, you know, not a problem. Did it. Let's make an album.
Whatever
oh,
floats your boat, right?
I'm telling you. It is so cool. I have some friends of mine that are in one. The lead singer of this band, she is originally from Vancouver, but her and her husband, they live in Toronto. And they own a band, you know, a little alt-rock band and whatnot. And she was telling me, this is just how cool Canada is. And we're going to get back to the music, folks. I just have all these stories. But she was telling me that she goes, like, once a year. This is before the pandemic. But they would go visit her parents, you know, in Vancouver. And they would take the train all the way across, but they had a deal with the government where they got free tickets or something like that, but they had to, like, play at the train stops, like, X amount of train stops. Like, the train would stop, they'd get out and perform for an hour, and the train stops, and they'd
wow.
get back on. And yeah, and I'm like, man, why don't we do that in the States? That's a brilliant idea, you know?
That's
everybody
a brilliant
enjoys
idea.
Hearing music.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
Wow.
It's cool. I don't know. So back to your music. First off, before we get into Better Off, I got to say that your cover, she does some amazing covers, ladies and gentlemen. Your cover of Creep, oh, my God. You're singing it in the shower. You're freaking out. I'm like, this is better than Radiohead. Tom and the guys are going to hear this and say, what the hell, Jamie? But no, it's true. There are some covers that are, you know. Anybody who says they're not, I'm like, no doubt. Oh, they did that cover of Talk Talk. I can't remember the name of it. But, yeah, their version was better than Talk Talk. But, yeah,
well,
I like your
fun
version
fact,
a lot.
Fun fact, Tennessee Whiskey, the Chris Stapleton version, that's technically a cover song. That's not his song.
Really?
So, yeah. And he's the one who blew up that song. So, again, you never know. It could be, you know, from someone else, but it was meant for someone else. You know what I mean? It totally depends. So it's fun
Absolutely.
Doing that cover. And what I love about Creep is it can totally jam out as a rock song, like a grungy rock
mm-hmm.
song, hence Radiohead. But there's something very special about Creep that you could make it more delicate, more emotive. And I really wanted to showcase that because the lyrics are so deep. They're so emotional and raw. And I wanted to bring that out. So I thought that was really cool to slow it down a bit and sing in the shower, make it super dramatic. And I thought that was super fun. And a lot of people ended up liking it. So I feel good about it. I feel good about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Didn't you cover Taylor Swift? That's another cover you did. Now, I got to admit, I was not the biggest Taylor Swift fan. And then I was in the car with my wife. And she had some songs, I don't know, 5 years ago or something. And I'm like, I don't know who this is, but I really dig this music and sound. And she's like, well, Mr. Cool Industrial Music, it's Taylor Swift. And you know, I was embarrassed. And I secretly went home, put my headphones on, and put it up on Spotify and listened to it on repeat for a bit. But I dug it, you know. And I hadn't felt that way until I heard your cover of one of her newer songs, right? I don't know her music that well.
It's from actually, I think, it's from the album Red, which was one of her older albums. But she redid.
Oh.
She did a Taylor version
oh,
of it.
Yeah.
So it came
right.
back. And she featured the song All Too Well, which is, originally it was a 5-minute song. But actually, she never told anybody until recently that it's actually originally a 10-minute song, and they cut it down for the album. So she showcased the song All Too Well as a 10-minute version, and everyone loves it. It's the first, I think it's the first 10-minute song that's hit number one ever. So there's no doubt in my mind that Taylor Swift, she is an incredible songwriter. She's a storyteller. She is a poet. And I think that's why people love her so much, is her way with words is unbelievable. It's magical. And she really is a magical person. I mean, even in her videos, it's like watching a fantasy movie. I love it. She's great. There's no doubt in my mind that her talent is unbelievable. It's untouchable.
She's badass, too, from a business point. She is so gangster. You know, they tried to screw around on her stuff. And she's like, okay, fine. I'll just re-record everything. How about that? And it'll be bigger and make more money than your stuff. How about that?
I love it. Savage. I love it.
Check and mate. You know, I was like, damn.
It's about time. You know? It's about time that the artist, the songwriter, makes the most profit out of a song. It's ridiculous how much companies and labels make from these artists, where it's their stuff, And I think it's pretty badass that she's saying, no, it's time that we truly own our songs.
Well, and that's just it. And that's why I tell people too. I mean, it's great. It's convenient when you buy tracks off of the streaming sites and, you know, all the different ones and whatnot, even the big green one. But the reality is, and I can't, I won't say it on the air, but I know the secret. I know what the art, what the cut is, how the pie is cut. And you folks out there listening, the general public, I mean, you could probably Google this and find it out yourself, but if you do, you're going to be pissed and shocked and aghast that, you know, how little the artists get. I mean, I get everybody's got to make money, but come on, man. Come on, you know. That any other business that they were pulling that kind of thing, they'd be in jail. You know, seriously.
It absolutely takes a team to make a song blow up like that, for sure. And we have to honor that and the team effort that is put into everything. But at the same time, when it comes to a certain cut, the artist, the creator, should absolutely have the majority of it. It's just, it's crazy how everything is just kind of going opposite now. But I really hope that Taylor Swift and other artists can put their foot down and really assert their ownership of their song, their work.
Absolutely. Well, and then everybody would be better off. Hey, how's that for a segue? Sid, did you like that? That was pretty awesome. Yeah, I was kind of ham-holded, but ham-fisted.
That blended.
Let's play
perfectly.
The track, though. I want to play it. It's Better Off. It's a Sid Carter West, artist extraordinaire. And everybody check this out. Check this out. We'll talk about it when we come back. Here it is.
I could tell you it's easy to let go. I could tell you the strong you got so much to show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. That was Better Off, Sid Carter West. What a track. What a track. Dude, I really should record the off-mic stuff, you know, like when tracks are playing, because that was hilarious. We were having so much fun, ladies and gentlemen. You guys don't even know what we were joking about. It was hilarious. But I don't. I can't record them. Anyway, Better Off. So now, Better Off, tell us a little bit about this one.
This one was definitely inspired by Tennessee Whiskey. Chris Stapleton's version, funny enough, just with the whole slide guitar and the slow, you know, sexy vibes. It was definitely inspired by that. But this one is more of my personal song with getting over a toxic relationship and learning how to recover from it. It's more of like the aftermath, you know, teaching myself how to not check in on the person, especially with social media now and how easy it
That's
is
right.
to check in on an
that
individual.
That block is your friend.
Yeah, seriously.
Block.
Seriously.
And
you
keep
think
them
it's not? It is.
Oh.
It so is. It's about healing. And the great thing about Better Off, too, is that, yeah, you can consider it a sad song, but at the same time, it's learning how to regain my confidence and my inner strength and knowing that it's okay that it didn't work out, that there's lessons to be learned through it, and gratitude as well.
Absolutely.
Because it taught me it.
Absolutely.
The hardest relationships I've ever been in have taught me so much about myself that I'm so grateful that I know now. And I think that's the beauty of any sort of relationship, whether it's traumatic or it's good or whatever, there are lessons to be learned and there's growth there. And if like you evolve, and that's the beauty of it. So I think Better Off is a really great way to tell listeners, it's okay to be in pain. It's okay to admit it and be real with it and just say, this really sucks. But at the same time, it's better off that way because you're going to grow and you're going to move forward and it's going to be great. So it's all about how you take a certain experience. You know, you can take it a really bad way and hold on to that and be resentful, or you can be okay that it's painful and it really sucks, but we're going to be okay.
Well, and that's just it. And, you know, I've dated that gal back, oh, man, several times. It took me a while to learn those lessons, you know. I think we all have, you know.
We all have.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, but the thing is, and you know what, to be honest, truth be honest, let's just be real. I've probably been that lesson for a couple of people.
Absolutely.
In my younger, you know. It wasn't always somebody doing me wrong, you know, if I'm real honest about stuff. But, you know, you're learning
that
to grow as a person.
That goes for everyone.
I don't want, you just try not to be that person now, you know. I mean, that's all you can do is learn from it, be better. Let me ask you this. No, I always ask, this is such a, and it's a setup question kind of, because, you know, we have bands on the show and stuff, and, you know, heartbreak and whatnot sometimes comes up with popular music, you know, it's a topic. But it leads into this great question. Does the person that perhaps inspired some of the lyrics of Better Off, have they heard that song? And do you think they hear it and go, sounds kind of familiar?
It's similar to the whole Taylor Swift effect. You know, it's great to write a song to help. It's a way for, I mean, I can only speak for myself. It's a way for me to express my feelings when it's really difficult in that moment to express them. I mean, that's the whole point for me with songwriting, is being able to voice it without actually having to voice it. And it's a perk if they are able to hear it. If not, I don't really care. You know, it wasn't made for them. The song was made for me to heal and to express and explore the feeling. And if they hear it and they end up hearing it, cool. they're aware.
That's the best answer I've ever heard to that question. I love that's the most mature. You got it together, girl. You got it together. I love it.
Don't give them the power that they're looking for, you know? Like, it's not their song. It's your song. It's there for you.
Absolutely. I remember many, many years ago, 20 years, had to be 20 years ago, probably longer, I was going, and there's nothing worse. I don't know. I mean, I hate to say, I'm not trying to be misogynistic or whatnot, but man, young, creative type guys going through heartbreak, oh my God, how pathetically sad can that get? You know, it's just terrible. Terrible. I'm embarrassed that I even went through that. So I was talking to this guy, and I knew this friend of mine, one of my collectors at the time, and he's since passed on, but, you know, he's like, I know you're busted up, man. You brought this gal up, like, you know, 15 times in our conversation. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And he's just like, look, man, fly higher. She should be so under your radar. that's the best revenge, you know? You can't even see her on the ground.
Though, it takes time. It takes time to have that mindset. It's so easy for someone on the outside to say that.
Right,
but when you're going through grief, when you're, you know, it takes time. That's why, no matter how cliche it sounds, time is totally a healer. It takes time, and everyone's
absolutely
different. Some people take longer, some people take quicker, you know, and that's okay. And people shouldn't judge each other for how someone processes things. That's a personal experience, and it should not be judged or frowned upon. That's how they need to integrate to whatever they need to integrate to. And it makes me sad when people judge that. It's like, it's none of your business. That's their own personal experience. It's fine.
You know, looking back at that, it was over a summer, and I had moved. I got mad. I was living out in San Diego, and I'm like, oh, I'm moving to Vegas. I'll show all of you. So I moved to Vegas in the summer. That was smart. And so I lived down the street from this Rockabilly bar, and so I was hanging out at the Rockabilly bar, like, every night, you know, and because I had a kitchen, and so I would just go down there to have dinner and stuff, you know. It was cheap, it's big. But every night was, like, a Johnny Cash cover song, and I'm trying to go through this breakup, I'm just like, God, what next? Hank Williams? Are you kidding me? It was the worst. But I got through it.
Some of the most embarrassing stories, though, they hold a place in my heart that I actually quite love. So I'm okay with making mistakes at this point. It's inevitable, you know.
Absolutely.
It's
cringeworthy
sometimes,
stories later.
For sure. But exactly.
It
just brings character.
You know. Yeah. Here's the key. If you're busted up right now and out here listening to this and you're trying to get over something, get over it and try not to, you know, do it again next month. How about that? Stretch those big heartbreaks out over your life. A few times, it'll give you character. No don't do it every month.
There's only so many times you got to circle back to the same habit. Either break it or you're going to still be stuck in there and you're going to try to figure out why. Well, maybe it's because you just got to break that cycle.
And don't look for somebody to fix it for you. That's a big lesson that so many people I know have a hard time learning, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. I mean, it's hard. It's really hard being able to do it on your own. But if you're able to actually just do it on your own, you'd be surprised with how much confidence you're going to gain from it. And, I mean, do you really want to be around people while you're trying to heal? Not ideally. You're going to be quite emotional and impulsive.
With their happy little comments and stuff. Oh, my God.
Talk about manic.
So crazy.
Eh?
Oh, man. That is funny. Well, hey, I want everybody again to go to Sid's website. It's SidCutterWest.com. All over social media. You got, folks, I know I harp on this, but it's so true. We live in an algorithm world. If you dig an artist, or an independent film, or I don't know, the best bread baker in town or whatever, like and share their social media. Chances are your friends are going to dig it because, you know, your friends, you have common interests and stuff, but it helps get the word out. And not only that, it tweaks things a little bit. You know, like when you like a video on YouTube, that YouTube algorithm, you know, it's like, hey, well, let me show this to some other people that might dig it too, you know. Very important. Very important. Leave comments if you can. Add bands, especially musicians. We all have playlists on Spotify and everything like that. Add them to your playlist and on Pandora and stuff. You know, super important. Super important. Sid, you are cool. You are, and you're so good at what you do. You know, keep doing what you're doing. It's amazing. I want to hear more. I can't wait. And I want you to come back on the show next, you know, when you drop your next single or whatever. I'm going to talk to
Rachel. Yeah, Rachel.
Man, people, Trent, they are awesome. They are cool, turned up to 10. And Rachel
She's on
as
it,
well.
Man. Yeah.
I'm telling you. She messaged me earlier today. No, I deal with all kinds of PR people. All kinds, all the time. Rachel messaged me today. She's like, "No, you got Sid's phone number, right, Jamie? You're all set for it. You got the tracks. You all." And I'm like, "Yeah, man, I got it. Done this once or twice." Okay. No, I wasn't offended at all. I thought it was cool that she's following up. You know.
It's so important. But I can't thank you enough. I mean, it's great to have these chats, and you have a great social media presence here, and having this amazing show. I love it. And I would be happy to be a part of it again.
Absolutely, man. We got to get you on like once a week or something, you know? so, you know, all you got to do is try. No, you're working with Trend. I know they're like, Jamie, don't tell her to do a single every, because all the artists want to do a single every week if they can, you know?
No kidding.
I guarantee. I know how Trend works. Trend sat down and said, okay, here's what's going to happen for the next year. You're like, I want to release more. No, got to build up momentum, man.
Absolutely.
They're awesome over there. They know what they're doing. They could teach classes on this stuff. Anywho. Hey, best to Ingrid when you hang out with her, you know.
I go see her all the time for tea. We have tea together at her house. And I'm talking like the vintage teacup vibe. It's great.
Nice. Thank you out. I love it.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. That is fantastic. Well, very cool. Well, everybody, again, Sid Carter West, she's the one to watch, and I just love her. And check her out, and, you know, head over to her YouTube page, too, because pop in Sid Carter West and check out some of her videos. Her videos are very, very cool. I had a whole... I don't know, an hour or two today where I was just letting the YouTube play your music. It was awesome. You know? It was very, very cool. I enjoyed it. Anyway, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. What is today? Today's Friday. Oh, yeah. We're going to be back on Monday. We've got a returning guest, John 3 from Waco, Texas. John's cool, man. John's one of my very cool... Catholic friends. He's very into that. And, you know, he's just into his stuff. But he gets on these crazy hobbies, and his latest hobby that he's doing is remote control cars, like radio control cars. I know, huh? Who would have thought? And he builds these things, and then, you know, he writes songs about it. And they're really good songs. I'm like, hey, they have a voice. How about that? I'm sure nobody else has done that before. So he's awesome. And so he'll be on Monday night. Tune in for that. And then Thursday, I've been getting a lot of emails about this. Yes, it is true. This is next month is the Movement Festival for Electronic Music in Detroit. And so we're having a lot of electronic music guests on leading up to that. And we have another Canadian, Sid, that will be on next Thursday, Sid Blue. She's one of the top DJs. Her new electronic album, I think it's won the Juno or something for electronic album or something. I don't know. But she's coming on, and that's going to be a lot of fun. So we will see it. See, we go from Southern Rock to electronic. You know, we're all over the place. It's awesome. Very, very cool. Sid, have an awesome day and evening and weekend. And thanks so much for being on the show. You're awesome.
I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, everyone.
See you soon, everybody. Be nice to people.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.